I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Mark, I've been saying for years that Ping help you play your best because that is exactly what they've done for me throughout my entire career. And now I've been having a look at the new Blueprint S and T irons, and boy, they are impressive. So much so that I've got the new Blueprint S irons in my bag at the moment.
So what do you like about them so much? I mean, I've never seen you this excited about a golf club.
Well, I could go through the specs, which are exceptional, but I won't. I will say, though, that if you're looking for more ball speed and if you want to lower your scores, if you want to mix and match and still look great, you should check them out because the new Blueprint S and T irons, they are definitely worth a look.
Nice.
Just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting.
Welcome to week three of the golfing year. Former world number 16 Nick O'Hearn and former tour pro Mark Allen are bright-eyed, bushy-tailed and ready for a massive 2024 of Talk Birdie to Me. And we welcome back our great mates at Ping. They'll help you play your best and you can arrange a Ping club fitting from your local golf shop or professional. And also welcome back the Golf Clearance Outlet. You can head in store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane or Perth or check them online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. You will be impressed. But now, they're back. The number one Australian golf podcast, Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. This is Talk Birdie to Me.
Well, it's 2024. We went on a holiday at just the wrong time. I'd like to welcome back Ping and the Golf Clearance Outlet for their support once again in this year. And we did go on holidays a little early, Nick. There's no doubt about that. Before we get into talking about golf, I do want to say that I've seen some footage of you swinging the club right-handed. And if you haven't got a golf link number associated with the name Nico Who for your right hand, then I'll be disappointed. What's the latest?
Okay, the latest is this. So last year we spoke about it, right? Yeah. How I need to try and get that right-handed handicap. Couldn't do it under my own name, but spent a few weeks up at our place near Cathedral over Christmas and the New Year's, and I thought, right, I'm going to do this. So went into the pro shop. James Betts, the pro, one of the pros there. Yeah. I said, how do I do it? And he said, well, I can't do it under your name. I said, well, I've got the perfect name for you, Nick O'Hoo. So I handed my went out and played 18 holes off the tournament tees, handed my first card in, and I now have a golf link number as Nick O'Hoo.
You shot 85, right?
I did.
That's annoying, mate. that's really annoying.
Well, my goal was not to lose a ball and not to make any double bogeys in the 18 holes, and I didn't achieve both.
No doubles?
No, that was my goal.
How many balls you lose?
I only lost one on the 17th, second last hole.
How many doubles?
Two.
Any birdies?
No birdies. So I was very consistent. I'd played very steady. I was playing for bogey a lot.
Now, I had a spy walking around the golf course.
Okay.
Apparently, Nick O'Hoo's an angry man. is that right?
I must admit, the language is a little different to when I play from the other side of the ball. It's really bizarre. It's actually, in a way, when I play with my wife, it's the same thing. The language out of her mouth is a little different to what I'm used to as well on the golf course. So something about that white ball brings out the worst in us. And maybe for me, you know, my alter ego, right-handed, it's what brings it out. Because left-handed, I usually don't say much.
Well, I want to see what that first handicap's going to be. But that is it's quite amazing. You shoot 85 at Cathedral off the tournament tees. It's actually not fair. Stacks happening since we've been gone. Well, we've been gone 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Not sure what it's been. But the PGA Tour and Live, Tiger and Nike and the Australian Open for 2024 still hasn't got a home. So where are we going to start? I want to start with the PGA Tour and Live.
Okay.
It looks like the agreement to agree is continuing. I think there was a deadline of November 2023, but that deadline has been extended.
Mm-hmm.
I keep on going to what Rory said when he left that committee on the PGA Tour. What was that committee called? The Players
Advisory
Council. When he left that, he kept on talking about a Grand Prix of Golf. The people that I read on social media and follow
That seems to be linked
mm-hmm.
with the new direction, and I fully support it. I would love to see it. And if you, this is your first time on the Talk Birdie to Me program, all four majors, the Players' Championship, the best American events, plus the Australian Grand Prix, plus the Japanese Grand Prix, the Irish Grand Prix, the Scottish Grand Prix, and whatever else they yep. get out there. Big fields, the best fields, big money, and a guarantee of the best players playing against each other more often than just the four majors and the Players' Championship. I would love to see that, whether it's got Aramco behind it or not. Nick, you?
I would love to see that as well. I just wonder how they're going to put it all together, because then what happens to the PGA Tour? Does that yep. become a feeder tour? In a way, maybe it already is.
Yeah.
With what's been going on with LIV recently, with John Rahm and everything and the contract he signed. How you fit everything into that schedule, I don't know. The deadline came and passed, and I read something on social media the other day. I don't know if this is true, and hey, rumors are great, obviously. But I heard Monahan was talking to Yasser recently, and apparently talks went really well, but it was the first time they'd spoken since June 6th.
Hard to comprehend.
I mean, the first time? Seriously?
Impossible.
They've got to have ongoing talks.
Impossible.
Yeah.
You scratch your head.
That can't be. Surely that's not right.
That's what I heard. So, again, it could be just a rumour, but, you know.
It is what it is.
And Rory, you know, he was playing in Dubai, and we'll talk about the Dubai event. Yep. That was a great finish, by the way. We'll talk about that later, but... you know, Rory came out with comments about he did. What was that podcast he did? It was some football podcast in the UK, and you know, he said he was a bit judgmental about the players going early because people yep. aren't in the same situation as myself or Tiger, et cetera, et cetera. That's all well and good and fine. He did come up with the ideal scenario, and what we've sort of spoken about more the IPL model, where you might do a 6 to 8 week. Type team run of events. Maybe you put a month of events in May and a month of events in November, and then you get all the best players in the world playing these little team series. That sounds exciting to me. I've always loved that last event on the LIV schedule, that team format that was originally in Miami. It really had some juice to it, and that was the one I loved watching. The rest, not so much. Now, again, Sergio's come out and gone, well, no, I don't really agree with that, because what happens to the rest of the LIV schedule? We love playing all these events. So how are they going to work all this out? I don't know.
Well, the big stumbling block that I see is that if you're still going to have the DP World Tour and you're still going to have the PGA Tour and you're still going to have LIV Golf, at the moment, the Players' Championship and the four majors count on both the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. The money earned there goes on the both.
Correct.
They couldn't do it with a 15-season schedule for the big ones, because it would be too big an advantage, wouldn't it, Nick?
You would think so, yeah, because the money in those is going to be insane, isn't it? It's going to be astronomical.
Well, what would you say, $30 million a pop is what I would be my estimate, if they're going to do it properly.
I'm guessing. And then what's the qualification? Because the official world golf rankings... Now, with players on LIV, we know that that's probably not reflected in how good those players are. So they maybe have to come up with another system to how they rank these players.
Would it be a points system? We know the Challenger PGA Tour Australasia now does a points system, and that is because they deem it to be fairer. Would that be a way of doing it, to where you might have a Grand Prix, let's say it's the Australian Open, and in America they play a tournament next to the Australian Open the same week, and the same thing happens on the DP World Tour. They do the same thing, and maybe you're playing for 10,000 points in the Australian Grand Prix, but in Europe and America, you're only playing for 7,000 points. I'm just throwing ideas. Would that be a fairer way of doing things?
I would say, well, that's how we run our order of merit here. That's what they do with the FedEx Cup, and obviously in Europe as well at the moment. So... Now, if you did that on a global scale, it's kind of a world rating type system, and then you'd allocate some to the LIV events as well. That'll be a tricky one, because there's obviously so fewer players in that one.
Yeah.
So
the other one, Nick, is that when it does come to the Australian Open, we want to see our locals with a chance of winning their home national championship.
Yes, for sure.
So then how do we do that? How do we fill the field? So I imagine it would be a case of 120 players. We're trying to get, you know, fields of 144, 156, somewhere up around that number. If you had 120 players, and then you kind of have, I don't know, do you have Monday Qs to get into these things? I don't know. I'm passing this over to you. Or do you fill the field with the home country going, okay, we've got 35 spots for this event.
And they make that decision.
Mm. Yeah, I would love to see it go to the home country, filling those spots. You take the top 50 or whatever guys from around the globe, or top 70 maybe, and then you put 50 of the top Aussie guys in or something. I mean, what an opportunity that would be. And the interesting part about that whole thing is, well, what happens if one of the unknown, well, not an unknown Aussie, but one of the local Aussies wins? Do they then get status on this World Grand Prix tour?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they'd have to.
Well, exactly.
They'd have to. So this is the conundrum.
I know.
If a young, let's say, Max Charles, all right? Max plays well, gets an invite, wins this thing. Okay, now is he exempt for the next 5 years on the Grand Prix circuit for winning the Australian Open, or do you only give that benefit to winning the majors still? So there are lots of little bits and pieces that people in the game would have to sit around a table and nut out.
This is going to take a long time. I think it's not going to happen this year, obviously. Next year, possibly, but 2026, maybe.
Yeah.
It would be my best guess.
What would happen to Liv? Now, I'm asking you that question not as a Liv hater, which many people think we are.
Yeah,
right. It's just, it's our least enjoyed format of the game.
Sure.
That's all. We don't hate it.
Yep.
In fact, Adelaide was unbelievable, but we don't hate it. But it's, you know, I'd much rather watch a four-round tournament with the cut with the best young players trying to win a tournament. That's just me.
That's where I find... Yeah,
no, what happens there to Liv?
Well, this is where I think the issue comes, is how do you work this format out? I'm not sure it's actually going to happen. Something needs to happen. I just don't know how they're going to do it. The way the IPL-type scenario, which I just mentioned, Rory said, I think that'd be a great option to do it. And then you have more of these lower live events through, you know, because they've signed on these guys for a few years. Not that that really matters, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
That's a possibility there. But what it's done, and Rory came out and said it last year, is it has exposed all the PGA Tour flaws.
Yeah.
The sponsorship money, like we got sponsors pulling out in the US coming up, like Wells Fargo. Is out of Charlotte. The Farmers, they're looking at getting out of golf, which is Torrey Pines. I mean, they've been there about 15 years.
And let's give the reasoning for that. It's because the PGA Tour are now asking these sponsors to put in $25 million worth of prize money. And the sponsors are going, well, we're putting in all this money, but you can't guarantee us the field.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're putting in more, and we're getting less.
And now you want us to go again.
Exactly.
Well, it just doesn't work that way. So that is a bit of an issue.
Mm.
Now, again, all these tournaments, all that sort of stuff will disappear if Aramco come in and are accepted. And then we have different tiers of tournaments where the majors would still be number one.
Yep.
Then you have the Players' Championship. And I would love to see the Australian Open all the rest of them on a level peg with the Players' Championship. So you've got the top four, and then maybe you've got the next, I don't know, 10?
Seven or eight.
Seven or eight.
Take your best national opens around the world.
And they're on that level. Would be just a dream for everybody apart from the American golfers, probably.
Oh, very much so, trust me.
Probably a dream for everyone else around the world except some of the American players who have had it so easy for so long.
Yeah, the biggest issue is a global tour, say it's 18, 20 events. That's a lot of travel, and
it's a lot of travel.
I know a lot of Americans, they don't like to travel.
So, I'm glad you're here. So, how many events do you think they would be happy traveling? So, if they got their four majors, and they've got their Players' Championship, and what are the other big ones? The Memorial, Arnold Palmer. Which are the bigger American events?
The Open you got to travel for, obviously. So you've got the three majors in the US.
So you've got three majors in the Players' Championship.
Players, you've got Memorial.
Memorial.
You'd do Bay Hill, Arnie's event, something like that.
So that's six now in America?
Probably like something like the Heritage.
Seven. Give them one more.
Yeah, and then something on the West Coast, I would imagine. Maybe, Torrey was always up there, but that's probably not. Maybe a Phoenix or a Pebble Beach, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay, so they get eight.
Mm.
It's a good whack.
Yeah.
That's a really good whack. So if they've got eight and then there's another seven.
It's not asking for much for these players to travel seven, eight, maybe 10 weeks of the year overseas.
So if they've got eight and they've got another seven, including the Open Championship, mind you, that means you've got six more events. It means they only have to travel internationally seven times. And let's be honest. Let's just put the Open, the Scottish Open, the Irish Open all in a line. There's just one trip for them that they can bowl over.
Perfect.
And then just the Japan Open needs to be big.
Australasian swing.
The Australasian swing would be lovely.
Aussie, South Africa.
That's right.
Japan.
And the reason, Nick, that you and I are very enamoured with this is because if the Australian Open attracts the top 120 players
on the planet. Then if you put the Australian PGA the week before, and let's say the Australian Masters
comes back,
or the Sandbelt Classic the week after.
Correct.
The dream is that those tournaments are on the DP World Tour, and you will attract some really high-level players either side of the Grand Prix Australian Open. That's what we're. That's the dream. And that way we get 3 weeks of amazing golfers in Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, lives in Adelaide, and I'd love to see Lake Cairn up used for something. I mean, it's a wonderful course.
Certainly is. Yeah, no, for sure. Well, there's so much to think about. And funnily enough, you know, we're talking about PGA Tour and LIV. At the moment, their season's about to start in 2 or 3 weeks, I think first week of February.
Yep.
John Rahm, as we know, signed back in December.
Yes.
They haven't even announced what team he's on.
Yes.
And I think the two which don't have ownership by the players are the Cleeks and the Ironheads.
The Ironheads.
What do you think? An Ironhead or a Cleek?
I'd rather be a Cleek, personally.
Or they were talking about creating a 13th team and then bringing
Rahm
two or three more other players
to
join Rahm on that team. What do you think?
That's next on my list. Are there a few players playing these early events trying to gather...
For the points.
Enough points to get in the top 50 where they'll be exempt into the majors and then taking the money that will only ever be on offer one more time? Or has the PGA Tour already negotiated after the Rahm move? No more. We give up.
Yeah.
Uncle, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know what it's like? It's like when you're a little kid and you had a big kid jump on your chest and do the typewriter.
Yeah.
That's what LIV with Rahm did to the PGA Tour. They were on top. They're doing the typewriter. They're just about to twist the nose and go to the ears. Has the PGA Tour said, all right, you got us, mate. You got us. Or could there be a couple other players ready to jump and take 100 mil, say?
I think what's done is done right now. One of the biggest surprises was Rahm was actually in Hawaii previous week at Kapalua.
Yes.
He must have booked a holiday or something. Thought, well, I don't want to give up the holiday. I'll be there, and he wasn't even playing the century. So that's a bizarre.
Final question on it. Pie in the sky, or will we see something special in 2025?
Ooh, 2025. I think we'll see a change, but it won't be the final product.
Okay,
that's what I think.
I'm hopeful that they'll get it sorted. Yep. They've got 10 months. Well, they've got 9 months.
There's so much to happen.
To work through it all.
So much to happen.
I think with the $800 billion PIF fund, I think you can make anything happen. You can move a mountain when you've got that sort of stuff behind you.
Very true.
Nike, we've been talking about him wearing FootJoy shoes for a long time. We saw it coming.
First brought it to the attention. I'll give you credit there,
you
Mark.
Jumped on board, technically. You jumped on board.
I knew about it.
Do you reckon it's as simple as he going to Adidas, or do you think he'll take his TW motif and do his own thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I know there was a, what was the shoe company I heard the other day that someone went to a while back? Roger Federer had started his own little side little thing where he took an equity stake in it. Now, Tiger, interestingly, I don't think he ever had much equity in Nike. I think he just went on contract through contract. And I was reading the numbers earlier. It was like $660 million. And remember back in 1996, like when he first about to turn pro, he did a 5-year deal for $40 million, and everyone's going,
wow,
that is insane.
Insane.
Never heard of anything like it.
It was crazy.
Now it's just like, okay, that's great. Standard sort of thing.
I think it's moved to $100 million a year.
Yeah, well, what he did...
$100 million plus.
What he did after that was, I think, $100 million for, I think it was about 5 years, and then he did a $320 million for 8 years, and then his last deal was $200 million for 10 years.
Yeah, $200 million a year for 10 years.
No. I think it was $20 million a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
$200 million a year, that would be nice. That's more Michael Jordan-esque.
Yeah, it's Jordan label stuff.
But he took an equity, so.
I wonder if he was looking for an equity.
Perhaps.
And maybe they said no.
You know who did get...
Wearing FootJoys just to piss him off.
You know who I think did get equity in the company?
Who?
And just left Nike?
Who?
Jason Day. Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, no.
It's a company called Melbourne.
Melbourne.
It's not Melbourne.
Yeah.
But Melbourne. And they're like a streetwear-inspired type, I don't know what you'd call it, but I wasn't that impressed with what he was wearing.
I've seen better dressed golfers personally.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah.
I've seen much better dressed golfers than what Jason Day was.
I don't think he was on what Tiger was on at Nike, but anyway, apparently it fit what he was looking for, and good luck to him.
Well, I reckon he'll be wearing FootJoys for the rest of his life, mm-hmm. and I think you'll find that there will be a Tiger Woods label.
Yeah.
And he will just make billions. It'll all be his.
Yeah, for sure.
It won't be a Michael Jordan where he gets 10% of sales. He'll get 90% of sales and 10% to run the country, run the company, and then away he goes.
You've been a FootJoy guy your
whole life? Career, yeah.
As have I, the same. Have you ever done the little make your own style? I'm sure you
haven't. I've got two sets. Yeah.
Did you put Mark Allen on it?
No, I didn't. I resisted. The wank effect. I did.
Actually, you know what I might do? I might get a Nico Who pair.
Yeah, get a Nico Who. You should get a Nico Who. But I've got three of my own design, and I love them. I absolutely love them. And, by the way, I was told this a long time ago with the old FootJoys. When I was working at Los Colinas Country Club, the locker attendant, his name was Sydney. And Sydney was a ripper. He's a great bloke. And every time I take my dirty old FootJoys to Sydney, I would come back after lunch, and they were brand new.
They were pristine.
Anyway, so I said, mate, how do you do it? And he took me out the back. And you know what the secret is? Laundry soap.
Oh, really?
And a sponge. So he would get laundry soap and a sponge, and you know how you've got the blue edge, which is a bit harsher, and then it's just a sponge.
Right.
He'd put laundry soap on the sponge with warm water, and the dirt in the creases of the FootJoys would literally just fall out.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I've been doing that with my new FootJoys that I've created my own. I've had them for 2 years. Really? They are still brand new.
Did he get the buffing machine like the guy at a K-Shack in the locker room at the end? Turns it into a grinder.
No, but he had a buffing machine, but he didn't use it.
He didn't use it.
And always, mate, he used to give me brand new spikes once a month. I used to love him.
What do you mean you got your own designs?
Well, there's the... It's
like go to the website.
It's like you're doing your own car. Yeah. You know, you can pick the interior, you can pick the wheels, all right? But, for instance, there's the saddle, and then there's the accent.
It's like a build your own.
Yes.
You build your own shoe, basically.
Great. Yeah, it's so good. You just go to footjoy.com.au.
Yeah.
Follow the links, you can design your own.
You get your football team colours or whatever. I'm sure Mark's go with his cream pants, you know. So.
And if you want to be a real wanker,
you
can put your name on the shoes too. Or like a lot of the golfers, you can see, you can put the little boxing kangaroo on it. You can put an Australian flag on it. There are so many things you can do if you want to, if you go to footjoy.com.au.
I can see you putting your name on your shoes. No, I'm surprised you haven't.
I had to twist my own arm not to do it. Hey, I'm really looking forward to your masterclass today. Mm-hmm. The Ping Global results are back for 2024. How are we looking for feedback, Dan?
Yeah, we've got some feedback already.
Oh, beautiful.
I still want to talk about the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about the Australian Open because it's 2024 and no one knows where it's going next year.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
It's...
And no one knows the format of the Australian Open next year. Now, I've heard a little bit about what's going to happen and what's going on in the back room, and I am concerned. Can we talk about that after a party pie?
I think we need to.
Righto.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And If you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Hmm. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper, but it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well, I like that.
Watch My Numbers, download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys into birdies.
If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe and never miss an episode, and maybe share it with a friend. Now back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. This is Talk Birdie to Me.
You had a chicken sandwich. You didn't have a party pie.
A wrap. I like my wraps.
Did you? How about the chicken sandwiches we're getting when we do the commentary? They cut the crust off.
They did. I saw that
it's
yesterday.
It's really nice.
Yeah, I saw that. You waffled that down. I'll tell you, it was impressive.
You've got a history of whinging about food, though. Are you complaining or are you just making an observation?
Yeah. No, I'm just making an observation. It is time for the top five.
Top five.
And this week's top five, we're about to talk about the Australian Open. Mm. My top five greatest Australian Open venues. Now, ooh. I don't care what format they are. I don't care who's playing. This is just where, how the Open Championship has a rotation.
Yes.
I've got a five-course rotation. I'd throw in a couple others there'd be forced. But
it could be a couple of clubs that might not be happy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there always is.
There
Nick,
always is.
And
yeah, true.
On Talk Birdie to Me,
it's an opinion.
We don't care. We just tell you what our top five is, and that's that. Although sometimes you may get a top 10.
Yeah, whatever.
At number five, newcomer.
Okay.
Peninsula Kingswood. North course.
Yes.
But I would be open to looking at a composite because there are some very, very good holes on the south course around the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And also, you can drive in, park your car on the other course.
So if we're talking about the men and women format, perfect that is place. A no-brainer.
It's got to be there at some stage.
Yes.
At some stage. At number four, Royal Adelaide.
Oh, love it.
Still holds up. Whew. We had a tournament there in 1998.
I was there. The cut was 11 over par.
That is correct.
It was so hard.
That is correct. I birdied the first three holes on the last day, and I thought I was going to win. I ended up shooting a whole stack. Royal Adelaide. Just fantastic.
Yeah, love the venue.
Number three. I don't know why this is controversial. It shouldn't be. But the Australian. It's big enough and bad enough to hold an Australian Open all the time. I love the joint. I reckon it's great. But some golfers don't like it as much. But as far as a venue, it is a ripper, belter.
I love the first couple I played there. And then when they changed the course, I haven't liked it since. It's just got too hard.
At number two, Kingston Heath. Yeah, they only got one round 2 years ago when Victoria and Kingston Heath had it. But Kingston Heath is a natural fit
for sure
for the Australian Open. And number one, no surprises here, Royal Melbourne Composite. It's by far the best golf club, best golf course in the country, by far.
Yeah, it certainly is.
I think Royal Melbourne West is number eight in the world, generally speaking.
Royal Melbourne Composite is that much better than Royal Melbourne West. It's not funny.
Yeah, it's a
doesn't
peach.
Sound right, but folks, I'm telling you, it is true.
Now, I heard a rumour you shot 68 at the in the medal at Kingston Heath the other day. Yes, if the Aussie Open went back there, would you go and Monday qualify?
The funny is, a couple of years ago, I did try to qualify for the Victoria Kingston Heath Australian Open. Yeah, I tried to qualify.
You did?
I was actually trying to qualify at the Heritage where they played on the weekend.
Ah, that where
it was a waterlogged course. I shot one over, I think, and missed by a couple.
Ooh,
hey, I want to talk to you about the Australian Open.
Yes.
Because November is when we play our Australian Open, and yet we do not know where the Australian Open is going to be played next year. We don't know whether it's going to be Victoria. We don't know whether it's going to be in New South Wales. And we don't even know the format of what's going to happen, when it's going to be men and women again. And then that makes another conundrum. If it is just going to be one event for the men, where are the women going to play?
Exactly.
And what is their date? Because you know this more than anybody, the date is so important for these events.
So very important. It's nice to get that schedule locked away early on. Because I bet you've got to fit all the other tournaments around it as well, the PGA.
Yeah.
I know the Masters isn't here, but some of our other local events obviously on the Aussie schedule. Hearing some things that, you know, I'm not quite comfortable with. I'm not sure the Sydney government particularly want it again. Here in Victoria, who knows if they want it.
Well, they're umming and ahhing.
They're umming and ahhing.
Because if the Victorian government wanted it, if the Vic government wanted it, it's here.
Right.
It's very simple.
Sure.
If they put their hand up and said, Kingston Heath missed out during the COVID years, Kingston Heath's turn should be this year.
Yeah. Well, they got the President's Cup in a few years.
It'd be announced.
Yep.
It would be announced and ready.
Mm.
But that announcement hasn't come.
True.
So that is disappointing. Yep. The other one, Nick, is that, you know, you and I talk to players. The players are not comfortable with the format.
Yep.
Because you have situations where people on 5 under par on a Saturday or a Sunday are hitting off at 5 hours apart, 4 or 5 hours apart.
Yep.
And that's not fair.
And that's because of the numbers in the field with the men and women combined.
That is correct. You've got situations where it would have been a nightmare this year. Mm. If Adam Scott doesn't double, triple bogey, didn't hit his shot out of bounds, and finishes on the ninth green.
Yeah, I know. He was on track to win the golf tournament. He had the lead, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he had the lead.
And he was there, and then he did what he did. I think he made double or a triple and finished on 9, and he was out of it. So it kind of worked out that way. But if he'd have parred that, made a birdie coming in, we could have seen the champion finish on the ninth, what, an hour or 2 hours earlier?
Yeah.
It would have been a bad look.
It would have been a bad look. Mm. Imagine if you are one of the corporates who brought all their guests and had the box right next to the 18th green.
Yeah.
If I'm shelling out that money for my guests and for the betterment of Australian golf, then I want to see the final putt being held right in front of me.
Yeah.
Not over there.
No. If you're new to the golf and you say, oh, well, I'm looking at the leaderboard, Adam Scott's leading. Oh, fantastic. We had to see him. Oh, no, actually, you've got to walk that way. You've
got to walk to the ninth. So, look, there are these little format
tweaks
that need to be done. They got rid of the two cuts last year.
They did.
I'm not sure whether that helped anything. If you're going to do it, you probably have to have a cut on Saturday, which nobody thinks is fair.
I think if they're going to change this format, the old way was it was, say, 50 pros plus ties. Now, that didn't include amateurs. So what they need to do is they need to include amateurs and just say top 50, whether you're an amateur or a pro, no problem at all. Because I think on the women's side, I think theirs was top 30 pros plus ties, but almost 20 women, female amateurs made the cut. So all of a sudden, their numbers almost grew to 50. Yep. And that's what caused a bit of an issue going forward over the weekend. There was just too many players in the field.
Yeah. The other thing is, we were talking about the Grand Prix of golf.
Mm.
If the Australian Open wants a Grand Prix of golf, then it's got to go back to just the men.
Just the men,
at some stage.
Yeah.
By the way, what we didn't talk about earlier with Liv and the PGA Tour is women will be the big winners, because as soon as they get the men organised, it's an absolute guarantee.
They're next.
That the women are next and they'll get their own event. So that needs to be what. Luckily, Nick, I've got the answer for Golf Australia.
You've always got the answer. Luckily,
I've got the answer.
He's solving world golf problems every week. It's incredible.
Well, it's amazing.
This is just for the Australian Open.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So let's take the men and the women's Australian Open, because those two events can comfortably stand by themselves. They are wonderful, wonderful events. I remember when the women's Australian Open was held in Adelaide. That was a sensational event.
It was.
It was an absolutely brilliant event, and we know the men's are. what I would do, because I know that Golf Australia, one of their key, what we call them?
Initiatives?
Platforms, yeah, initiatives, is to try and get men and women together and try and... We know how well the Victorian Open works with men and women. It works a treat. And one of the reasons it works a treat is because it's the Vic Open. It's not the premier event of the country. So if I was James Sutherland, g'day James, we're going to get you on the podcast at some stage. If I was James Sutherland, I would look at copying what they do at the Vic Open with the New South Wales Open, the Queensland Open, the WA Open, and getting those events, men's and women, because those things that are annoying at our biggest event can be tolerated by all if those tournaments go to, instead of whatever they are at the moment, what are they? Vic Open's out saying, the New South Wales Open, 400,000. If those prize monies went up, and let's say they're all million-dollar tournaments, then I think that would work so well. And I think you would still get a lot of people coming out to the WA Open watching the men and the women. Now, you know, we saw at the Australian Open, the men's field was a little bit more than the women's field. That's fine if they're going to do it. But I think that would tick a lot of boxes for Golf Australia. They still are seen as making sure that men and women are looked after and getting people more, and believe me, more and more people will come to those events if they are men's and women's at that level. But also, then we'll get the men's Australian Open on its own two feet, the women's Australian Open on its own two feet, get the women's Australian Open back on the LET or the PGA Tour or the LPGA, because that's very important, and get the men's a real platform on the DP World Tour.
The only issue I have, I've got to bring it up, is scheduling and trying to get the best females to come back and play all those state opens, if you want to call them that. So it's the New South Wales Open, the W Open, Queensland Open. The schedule is the issue because usually they're overseas playing their other events.
So unfortunately, those Vic Opens and New South Wales Opens, they're not going to have the greatest fields in the whole world, but they will be wonderful platforms for our youngest to come through, just like the Vic Opens and WA Opens and New South Wales Opens are already for the men. I would also, I'm not finished.
Okay, because the other thing you got to think of, we've already got the WebEx Players Series events here, but they're playing for the same prize.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is very interesting. They've all
been great.
Yeah. We've got two coming up these next 2 weeks.
They've been wonderful. Hopefully they'll be able to do both. But I would have all the smaller events before Christmas, and then I would have our big events for the Australian Open, men and women, the biggest ones, in February. Because we can see it right now. Cricket, I'm sick of already. In about 3 weeks, I'm going to be sick of tennis, and golf would be just magnificent right there in February. It's just sitting there waiting for us.
Hang on, you're sick of tennis after 3 weeks. Two and a half weeks of an Australian Open.
That's right.
Jeez, you haven't got much tolerance, have you?
No, I don't. I don't. But again, in the same token, tennis people will be sick of golf by the end of February. And then guess what? The NRL and the AFL start, then we're away. And it's just a beautiful little fit. And believe me, golf will have the back page to themselves in February for a month.
All right.
And it'll be great.
Hey, let's go upstairs and talk to James.
James, if you need me to come and say hello, you've got my number.
You've been saying for, I reckon, about 20 episodes. We'll get James Sutherland on the pod.
Yeah, we will.
You're going to actually get off your ass and organise that at some point?
I'll call him. I'll get him. We'll get him on. Actually, I've been told, I've just got a text message while we're doing. We're doing our pod from Huntingdale Golf Club next week, one of the iconic golf venues.
Beautiful.
They're in the middle of a redo, and Michael Cocking, who is doing that redo, would like to talk to us. So we might have a bit of a bonus. We might do our regular stuff, have a Michael Cocking bonus.
One last thing, before we go, because the Australian Open, you're talking about different venues. I would love to see it go across to Perth, Lake Carina.
Wow.
However, in the current format, the issue is the...
What's
the second course? And around Lake Carina, the only thing I can think of might be, say, Cottesloe, or the one I would love to see it at, selfishly, would be Mount Lawley. And because you mentioned Mike Cocking there, his company, OCM, are redoing Mount Lawley at the moment.
Well, they'd want to hurry up because the tournament's in November.
It's not going to be finished. But from all accounts, they've done 12 out of the 18 holes, and apparently it is stunning. I want to talk to Mike about that.
Michael Cocking is the number one. By the way, I didn't mention this. Perth really want the Australian Open Golf. Perth really want it.
Yeah.
It's an option for them. They want to steal big events from the eastern seaboard of Australia and they want the Australian Open Golf.
Love that idea. Time zones are a little issue with, you know, broadcasts and things, but that can be worked out.
Lake Karrinup's had Australian Opens before, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
and
for sure.
It's had huge events.
Quite a long time ago. But yeah, they had the
Johnny Walker Classics.
Johnny Walker, yes, exactly.
Only the best players shoot course records around. Only the very best.
Sure.
And some even do it sober.
In news just in, Nick, we've just heard that we're at Huntingdale next week. Were you aware of this, or is Mark just springs on both?
Apologies.
That's okay.
Yeah. Apologies.
You know, I'm a professional golfer. I'm used to adapting.
look. Alex McGilgrave has just said, what's that? Marco, what time do you need? Want Mike? 2 p.m. Also, I have booked the boardroom for you, Alex.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
That's nice. All right.
Would you like some feedback?
I would.
I would love some feedback.
Okay, we've got a few already. Just a bit, because over the break we were playing some best of pods. We're repurposing some top fives and masterclasses, and we had a lot of comments on some of that. I won't read all of them, just a few. Rye has said, the tip marker you gave regarding the hip turn in November, I didn't realise how little my hips were turning. I've since incorporated that as a main swing thought. It took a couple of weeks of extra training, but it's given me at least an extra club distance through the bag.
Thanks. Wow, holy dolly. That's good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's funny, a lot of the time when you practice down the range and you haven't got a worry in the world, your hips and your shoulders, they turn so freely. But as soon as you put that pencil and a card in your back pocket, things tighten up. So sometimes you need a little reminder on the golf course to turn those little hips.
Yeah. Dale has written in, imagine if world golf boys and girls was set up like world tennis. The whole world's eyeballs are on Australia and New Zealand for a couple of weeks. Then it moves to the next country.
Yeah. Now, get ready. I think it's going to happen. I think it's pointing for it all to end up that way. I think the women's tour will be really easy to do. I don't think they'll have a LPGA tour, a LET tour, and a LIV tour. I think the women's just a really easy one. We're just going to give you 40 events, girls. It's all going to be on the one tour. We're going to travel all over the world, and you're going to play for three times as much cash.
Well, they already do a lot of traveling, don't they? So it makes perfect sense.
One of the bits of content that we played over the summer break was your top five worst rules in golf, Mark.
Yes.
And we had a couple of suggestions for additions to it.
Right.
Carlos has said, no relief from fairway divots.
Totally agree. Well done, Carlos.
No.
No relief.
See, he thinks that's one of the worst rules.
One of the worst golf rules?
He wants relief.
From, he wants relief.
From divots,
no, sorry, Carlos. Sorry, mate.
See, we like to keep that rule in, Carlos, because it stops snowflakes from playing our game.
Yes.
Oh, geez, the elite's looking after themselves here. Cameron Percy said long putters being legal.
Oh, Cameron. Yeah, he's on the did he get his Champions Tour card? He did.
Yeah, he did.
He just did recently, yeah. So, Sam's a great bloke.
Again, he thinks that's a bad rule, long putters being legal.
He thinks it's... Okay, see, I'm getting confused now. I mean,
could read it either way, to be honest. But I think that's right.
How good that Cam Percy sends it in. He loves the pot, I know that. He absolutely lives for it.
Does he need the long putter?
No. He's saying he hates long putters.
Okay. Hang on. So why don't we get him to clarify?
I'll see if I can get him on.
Get him to clarify. Let's get him to clarify.
I'll get him on the same episode as James Sutherland. Right?
Yeah. Stephen Barron has said, I'm loving both of Nick's books. Great reading. An Aussie version of The Little Red Book.
Oh, very kind.
It is a great book, Nick.
Very kind.
A lot of people that I speak to love your book.
Thank you.
It's annoying. It's very annoying.
Got a message from Patrick Walker who said, Happy New Year, Mark and Nick. Really enjoying your TV work from The Heritage. It's excellent with little golf tips for mugs like me. Very nice.
Beautiful.
Well, that's kind of our platform, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we have limited resources, but they do an amazing job. And in the time that we have free, you know, 3 and a 5 hour coverage, we like to try and help all golfers. And I love picking Nick's brain.
When we see
something, I love asking Nick questions, particularly about the short game stuff and how you think. How you set yourself to hit shots, because he's world class at that stuff.
So you guys talk about the limited resources. And you mentioned this a few times. And you're inside the bubble, right? So you're seeing it all happen. As a bloke sitting on the couch watching it, I think it looks great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, that's because Jam TV and those guys are doing an amazing job.
They are tight. The work they do and the camera crew. Honestly, it's like Starsky and Hutch. They're on the back of golf buggies going from one hole to the next.
They're giving us some great views on the lines and putts. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay, the last one. This is a question for you guys, and this is on your Short Softy Masterclass from a few pods ago.
That was a long time ago.
And this comes from KC8923.
Okay.
All right. Unusual name. What's the key to not fatting it, which is my nemesis?
Ah, the Short Softy not fatting it. It just sounds completely wrong.
Well, this is the wrong podcast for this sort of stuff. Go on.
I would say what is happening is Casey is decelerating. So you've got to keep the momentum going through the ball. If you ever decelerate or slow down through the ball, or you go back a little short and you speed up, you change your rhythm basically from the backswing to the through swing. That transition is all important. So try and smooth out the transition. Just keep at the same speed going through and you'll catch it perfect every time. If there's any change, that's where the miss hits come from.
So if Casey does that, we might at some point be hearing from him on the Ping Global results, yeah?
I would think so.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, are we going to play the music again this year? I think we have to.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. I get the back of the head, you know, goosebumps.
My hairs are standing up.
Yeah, I get goosebumps.
Chills. Chills. Right. So, the first Ping Global results. We actually did miss a tournament. I've got to go back one because we started a little late. But we had a tournament on the PGA Tour over in Hawaii. The Century, Chris Kirk, great win for him. Obviously, he's had his battles.
How was that? Was it a 5-iron on the 17th that he hit from it? It was one of the best shots of his life.
It was the shot of the year.
Yeah, it was the shot of the year. You're right.
Because it was the first week of the year. No, it was. He won the Honda last year, and he had about an 8-year drought or something between wins, and he'd been battling alcoholism and things like that. So it was a phenomenal win. So I just had to get that in for Chris. He defeated Fagala and Spieth, who were both charging down the stretch. It was a fun tournament to watch. Now,
more 400-yard drives hit that week than any other week in the history of golf.
And I think Max Homer hit the longest drive on ever or something. It was like 480 yards.
Yeah. Apparently, the elevation change from the 17th to 38th green is equivalent of a 30-story building.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's quite big. That's why they're hitting them so far.
Yeah, it's built on the side of a volcano. Yeah. Quickly on the PGA Tour, and one thing we didn't talk about earlier, Mark, was they over the summer here, they decided their Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year. Now, there's a bit of controversy. Player of the Year went to Scottie Scheffler, as opposed to John Rahm, who
won
the Masters, won four times.
Won four times.
Scheffler won twice, including the players.
Yeah.
But Scheffler did have about 20 top fives in a row or something like that, top tens. I don't know what it was. It was insane golf. Yes. Thoughts on all that?
Well, I think top tens should be the tiebreaker.
Okay.
So I think if you win four events, including a major.
Yeah.
I think there's no need for
a tiebreaker.
I think
the major just does it.
There's no need for a major. But there's no need for any tiebreaker with top 10s.
So interestingly,
John Rahm should be the player of the year.
These things are voted on by the players.
Yes.
And I think it was around the time that he signed for Liv. So that might have had a little bit to do with it. They might have gone, you're taking the money and we can't. Yeah, Scotty, you deserve it. You're loyal.
I promise.
And then on the other side of it, this is a bit close to your heart. Yeah. The Rookie of the Year went to Eric Cole.
Oh, I love him.
As opposed to Ludwig.
Oh,
Robert.
Hang on a second. How did Ludwig not win it?
Exactly. How did Ludwig not win it?
How on earth did he not win it? He did all of what Eric Cole did, and he did it in a third of a season.
Again, I think it's one, you know, all the guys out there, they see this young superstar coming along, and they go, you know what? We're going to give it to an old grinder here instead of the young up-and-comer. Because Eric Cole's in his mid-30s, and he's been a mini tour player all his life.
The PGA Tour have always had it against us, people from Texas Tech. they've held us back for a long time.
Now, I'm going to... We're doing this pod at a time when... because you're going on holiday.
Yes, I am.
Very selfish.
It's my fault.
Very selfish.
I apologise.
We're doing it at a time where the Sony hasn't finished. Now, they're coming down the stretch, and your favourite player is... tied for the lead right now.
Kevin Yuan.
Carl Yuan. Kevin played yesterday at the Heritage.
Is that his brother?
No.
Are they related in any way?
Who knows?
I doubt it.
I'm sure there's a few Yuans out there, but anyway.
Predict. Give us a prediction. Who's
going? He is at 16 under at the moment. Henley's 16. Benarn's 16.
Carl must be finished, is he? Is he in the clubhouse?
And your favourite player, Keegan Bradley, is also tied at 16. No. Grayson Murray. Gee, there's a bunch of them.
Anyone in the clubhouse?
Yeah, Carl. The problem is the 18th hole is a par 5 birdie ball. I'm going to pick Russell Henley. I think he's going to birdie the last, and then it'll be a playoff over Bradley and Grayson Murray. That's my prediction.
ABB.
There you go.
Anyone but Bradley.
Anyway, so
he's bad for golf, Dan.
I know you hate him. I know you're not a fan.
I don't hate him. I hate what he does on a golf course. It's bad for golf. And people will look at what he does and go, wow, that's okay. How you play fantastic golf. I'm going to start doing that.
And he was part of the social media world over the last few days when he was lining up a putt from behind. He had the finger point going with the aim point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but in the background, because I had him on camera, one of the players is behind him, walks up to a tree and starts taking a leap.
It was very funny.
Have we posted that yet?
No, we haven't. No, we should.
We've got to post that on
And the camera stage. Quickly panned away just before he was about to... anyway.
They have a player...
He was about to show us his forearm.
Don't they have a Portaloo on every tee? The PGA Tour?
No, apparently not.
Not in Hawaii. So, right.
That was pretty wide open where he was going, I will say. Jeez. Anyway.
Did you get fined for that? That should be what's the standard fine over there? Oh. You would never have got fined. Nico Hu might have, but not Nico
Hu. Who would have? Nico Hu never did.
I wonder if, who was the player having a leak? Who was it?
It was hard to tell. Yeah. Someone said it could have been Grayson Murray.
No, it was
in
Grayson.
The background. It was Grayson.
Yeah, it was Grayson.
Well,
sure.
he's got a bit of a temper on him. So
It's lucky they cut away, because if they hadn't, we might have found if Grayson was under par or over par.
Oh, very good there, Dan. Very good. Okay, DP World Tour, their first event just finished Sunday night.
Yeah, I missed the finish. What happened?
So, phenomenal golf tournament.
So Fleetwood Roar in the last group?
Yeah, how good is that for a pairing, by the way? Awesome. And they were going back and forth, neck and neck. Rory makes three birdies from 11, 12, 13, has a two-footer on 14 and three putts.
He does not.
He three putts.
How far past did he hit the first one?
4 or 5 feet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a shocking
putt.
Was it
downhill and he just tried to slam it in the back or something?
I think he tried to jam it and it was a bad stroke. Anyway. Right. But those two are going at it. Also, Thriston Lawrence, a South African, was as well. But Rory had the lead playing the last hole. He birdied 16, I think, or 17, and Fleetwood had bogeyed. Yeah, so they flipped it again. Rory hooks one in the water, makes bogey, and Fleetwood birdies the last to win by a stroke. It was a phenomenal tournament.
Incredible.
Now, I'm going to do my masterclass on putting routines. I'm just going to...
Good.
I'll talk about this shortly. But Rory, for me, I've always spoken about his routines. He needs to tidy him up. He needs to tidy him up. And, you know, he's the best player, one of the best players in the
world.
Send
him a copy of your book.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think he's going to... Oh, well, maybe I should send it to Brad Faxon. So, anyway, who's helping him? But anyway, I'll talk about that a bit later. Good. Now, locally, we had the Heritage Classic. You and I commentated with Stacey Peters, and we had Jimmy Emanuel on the golf course. Matty Griffin. You know, it got close. I said would happen, and it kind of did. I said Jack Carter would catch... Matty Griffin. He started with a 5-shot lead. He got within one. And in the end, Matty just blew him away. Six strokes in the end. So a great performance. The Heritage.
I thought when Jack Carter eagled 4, it was game on.
Yes. And it was. He got within one for 30 seconds because Matt Griffin rolled in a birdie just after him.
But then the real Matt Griffin turned up
and
just wiped him.
Mm. Yeah, his routine changed a little bit as well. So that's part of the masterclass. Yeah, so a lot of fascinating stuff. But congratulations to Matt. Great win for him. It's been a long time. Was it 2016, I think it was, when he won the New Zealand Open.
And got the moment with his little fella running up to him. You had one of those moments too, didn't you?
I had one with my
Australian
daughter.
PGA?
Yep. Yeah, Australian PGA. My daughter could run. My other was too young. It was in my wife's arms.
Beautiful. Good on you.
But anyway, great effort by the Heritage Golf and Country Club to get the course
up
to standard, because they had like 140 mils on the weekend. I mean, how they got that golf course and no preferred lines was just simply amazing. Now, Big week in golf coming this week. Asian Q School Finals.
Huge.
Big week, because we know that's a bit of a stepping stone to live now with the International Series. We have 18 Australians playing, including your buddy.
Max Charles is
and
there.
Jordan Zunick's there as well.
Yes.
4 New Zealanders, and this year coming, 2024, is a bigger schedule than last year, so it's a good tour to get onto. So we'll keep an eye out for that one. The LPGA kicks off their season, the Tournament of Champions at Lake Nona. which was part of the.
What's Nona like?
Good track.
Good place?
Good place. Yeah, okay. It's where a lot of the European players lived, like Stenson and Poulter and Els, Rose, all those. They all parked themselves there. Whereas I was at Arlworth, which was the other side of Orlando, and then we used to play the Tavistock Cup. It was basically a pennant match on steroids.
Just fantastic.
Yeah, we had Tiger and Stewie and Rob and all, you know.
Did you ever lose?
It went back and forth. It was a lot of fun.
Because Europeans were, you know, dominating the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, not in the Tavistock Cup.
No. Not with Nico Hoop.
No, exactly. So, Champions Tour resumes in Hawaii, so we'll look out for some of the Aussies playing there this year. Corn Ferry Tour is in the Bahamas, and this week here in Australia we have the Webex Players Series at Cobram-Baruga, where Sarah-Jane Smith is the defending champion, and that is the Ping Global Results.
Great stuff.
Now, before we move on to the masterclass, quick question for you guys. Yes. We had a snap poll that we put up about Christmas time, like so about 3 weeks ago now. And the poll was this. Snap poll. Playing around, even a lazy nine holes on Christmas morning. Yes or no?
I would have said yes. Many people saying absolutely.
Christmas morning?
Christmas morning.
Absolutely.
So the answers were, or the percentages were, yes, 62%.
Yes.
No, 23%.
Yeah.
And FWG, fair weather golfer,
15%.
Okay. So you guys are yeses,
I remember my family, we used to sneak on Metropolitan Golf Club on a Christmas day. We used to go play Metro.
Metro. Didn't make your Aussie venues either.
No, well, there's been a few old races down there by somebody, and I don't think it's going to get back anytime soon.
Well, Metro's a soft spot and kickstarted my
career. I left Victoria off too. Victoria, if there was a seven rotation, Vic's in.
It could be
rotation.
A top seven, Mark.
It's a top five, Nick. It's a top five.
Oh, Nick did a top 10 last year.
Are there strict rules this year? I've got to do top five.
You've got to respect the top five.
Okay, will do.
All right, speaking of respect, Masterclass.
It's about routines, and I'm going to do pre-shot routines on the putting green, and I've found there are two different ways to do it, and it all comes down to, are you able to see the line clearly? Do you struggle with lining your ball up or getting the line, or are you very good with that and you just want to kind of freewheel it? So there's a couple of different ways you should do your putting routine.
I like how this has started. Yes. This is good.
So what you'll notice, for example, Rory McIlroy, if you take the Dubai Invitational, for example, Rory McIlroy, he stands behind the ball and he has practice strokes side on looking directly down the line. Jordan Spieth does a very similar thing.
Aaron Baddeley too.
They walk in, they put the putter head behind the line, right hand only for a right-handed golfer. That's always a good thing because they're squaring the putter head up nicely. Take their stance, stroke the putt. So that Rory McIlroy style is good for people who struggle to line their putts up correctly. Okay, you might want to use a line on the ball. Mm. Okay, now the second option is to have practice swings next to the ball. So stand behind, get a bit of an idea of the line you want to take. Tommy Fleetwood did this. Walk in next to the ball, have a practice stroke, one or two, three, depending on what you want to do. Tommy Fleetwood only took one. Move your putter in behind the ball and stroke the putt. Those sorts of players, this is the way I do it. I see my lines very easily. I know exactly where I'm aiming. For the players who struggle to know where they're aiming, you want to stand behind, have your practice strokes, walk in, put the putter head behind, and that is the easiest way to line the putter head up behind the ball. So there's two different styles. Now, getting back to what I was talking about with Rory earlier, the issue I have with Rory in his long game with his putting is he changes the number of looks when he's over the ball. Putting, he has two, three, sometimes four, full swing. He usually has four to five, and that varies. Mm. On the last shot of the day when he hooked it in the water, he had seven.
Yeah.
So what that tells me is he's thinking about things he shouldn't, because the amount of looks you have over the ball, whether it's your full swing or your putting, you watch Fleetwood on that final green when he hold that final putt. His routine is this. He has a practice swing next to the ball, puts his putter head behind the ball, has one look, and he goes. And he never changed that routine when it mattered the most, and that is why he put a good stroke on it. Rory, on that final tee, he took two or three extra looks, and he knew he wasn't going to hit a good drive as soon as I saw him take those extra looks. So that's something I think Rory needs to work on going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the masterclass. I'm going to put a video up of those two different putting routines on socials, and basically you pick one to suit yourself.
Can I just add to it a little bit? Because I think golfers have always had this in the back of their minds. Why would you practice one way and then under pressure do something totally different?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. So if you are finding yourselves on the driving range and you're a practicer and you take one or two or three looks, however many wrinkles, if that's how you practice,
then why under pressure would you do it totally differently?
Exactly.
And this is the principle that you are talking about at the highest level.
Yes, and I've seen Rory on the range take one or two looks
with
his full swing, and then he takes four or five out on the golf course. It's baffling for someone who's so good.
That's right.
And I would love to see him be more reactive with his long game on the golf course. If he did that, everyone would be playing for second.
So really, you should meet in the middle. If you're his coach, you go, okay, you're taking not enough looks when you practice, too many when you're actually under pressure. Let's meet in the middle.
Three looks
when you're practicing in between waggles, and then under pressure, we need you to do exactly the same.
Spot on.
Not hard. Sitting here at Golf
so
Australia
easy.
Headquarters.
So easy.
It's not hard at all.
Our first show done.
Well, nice to see you boys.
Yeah, well done, guys. Looking forward to a big year.
All right, think about me this week when I'm sitting by a pool, just twiddling my thumbs, reading the book.
Drinking shandies.
Yeah, that is exactly right. See you next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for being part of Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. And if you want to be part of the show, drop us a message or comment on the socials. Or you can send an email or leave a voicemail at talkbirdietome.com.au. Thanks to the great team at Ping, they're the best in the business and they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. If you're after top quality at prices you won't beat, check them out. golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.